see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. To see you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Good to see each one of you. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll look right into the scripture tonight. And a little thin in the ranks tonight, but where he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. So, I know many are remembering all the ones that are not with us tonight for different reasons. And but all my family's in at the beach or the coast. But as they say, just good to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 16, we begin verse 1. And before we read the scripture, let's just all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house, Lord. Father, we thank you for all your blessings on us. We just pray that you have your will and way with us tonight, Father, and just bless the words that are spoken, Lord. Just help us get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you may be able to speak to us tonight. Lord, be with each one that's not here, Lord. Many that are, Lord, sick and, Lord, need a touch from you, Lord. And whatever the case may be, Lord, you know, physical needs and the different ones, Lord, we just hold them up before you, Lord, that we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord Jesus. And, Father, we know that it's a finished work of Calvary. Lord, you said by your stripes we were healed, and we know that's a fact. We've seen it manifested, and Lord, we just believe that you'll just continue to manifest in each one's life, Lord. And Father, whatever the needs may be tonight, Lord, we just commit them to you. And Lord, we know that you are the answer for whatever we have need of, and we just pray for your guidance tonight, Father. Just lead us and guide us in all things, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. Begin at verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. But mercy and truth, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And I just want to title this God is in control. And just want to look at a few scriptures and things tonight. But I was doing a little reading, and I run across this man, and people have a real issue when, you know, trying to come to the realization that, you know, God is in control of all things. He created all things. He put everything in motion, and you know, there's nothing that didn't come into existence that God didn't put in place, and you know, God has a law for everything. He puts everything in motion, and everything works just the way God created it. But I want to go to this quote. This quote is from God of This Evil Age. And Brother Branham says, "And the world seems to be in the most evil age that ever was." He said, "Never in any age did women act like that, but just before the destruction of the Antediluvian world." And Jesus referred to it. He said, we'll get to that after a while. He said, "Has God lost control, or is he just permitting another agency to control? I wonder." The true answer to this question is, to my opinion, that there are two opposing spirits in the world today at work. Now, there can't be no more than two heads, and one of them is the Holy Spirit at work. The other one is the spirit of the devil, and in the last days, in deception. He said the two spirits, one of them, God's Holy Spirit, and the other one's the devil's spirit, working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. He is doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age, showing that it is Christ. He said, if the finger is supposed to move in this age, the finger will move. Amen. He said, if the foot is supposed to move in this age, the foot will move. Yeah. If the eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. Yeah. He said, the Spirit of God, as it's growed into the full stature of God in the age that we're now living. He said, the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour, and the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by the error, as usual, by the perversion of the word of God, like he did at the beginning. See it coming right back to that seed time again from Eden. Here it is again. And I was listening to this man. You know, Brother Brown talks about, you know, has God lost control, or is there another one that's in control? And, you know, this man was speaking on free will, and he was speaking about, you know, everybody talks about God's in control and all of this. And he's like, well, you know, all of this has to go back to free will. And, you know, it's like God built a box, and he just put these parameters up, and then he just dumped everything in this box, and he shook it up, and then he just let it go, and he's standing there trying to figure out what's going to take place next. No. And it's like, well, you know, Brother Branham said, he said, you wouldn't run your business like that. He said, God didn't run his business like that. Right. And it's like, you know, how much, you know, because if we actually have this kind of concept, we have this kind of belief in God that he does, you know, God doesn't know everything. Everything is not ordered of the Lord. There's not a divine order to everything. Then exactly how much does God know? Yeah. I mean, because if God doesn't know everything, if God doesn't have full control of everything and knows the end from the beginning, he knows everything that's ever going to happen to you. He's going to know where every step, every misstep, every mistake you've ever made. And he's already got an atonement made for that, because he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So if all of this isn't laid out, then exactly how much does God know? How much has God got in control? Because if he don't have it, then exactly how much can we put our confidence in him? Because if he don't know, then how are we supposed to, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Let's just all eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Right. Amen. But you know, it's so amazing, because people actually will listen to this. Why? Because that is the perversion that Satan has in people's mind, that he has created this perversion that all he wants to do is tear down And he wants to make all this confusion that everybody does it, where there are no absolutes. There's nothing to stand on. It's just all wishy-washy. There's nothing. No, God has a plan. There is absolutes. Because there is something solid, because it's the Word of God. The Word of God is solid. He won't change. God said, I change not. I am God and I change not. If he ever had one thought, he will always have that thought. You can't change God's mind. He already knows what's going to take place. And so that is where we put our confidence today, that we don't have to worry about what's going to take place tomorrow or any other time. Because, you know, just like Brother Branham was speaking of, you know, he said, if I knew that the Lord was coming in the morning, he said, I would just go ahead and plant potatoes. I'd just go to work. I'd just go on and do everything like I was going, like a regular day. If I knew the Lord was coming, why? Because that is what God wants me to be doing, because I'm up and doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, not waiting on thinking that something's going to change. So just get up, go to work, all the things that you got to do, go to school, get ready, and just go through, because you're going to meet the Lord. But you know what? You live your life the way you're supposed to live it. And everything that you do is to honor God. And in the scripture here, in Proverbs 19:21, the scripture tells us, it says, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, there's a couple of translations here. One of them is a modern version. I can't remember what it was, but it says, we may make a lot of plans, but the Lord will do what he has decided. And another translation says, people may make all kinds of plans, but the Lord's will is going to be done. So it doesn't matter what goes on or what happens or all the plans that we make, God's plan, God's word, God's will is what's going to take place. That's all that matters. Because, you know, we can make a lot of plans, but, you know, we can't change what's going to take place. Because, you know, Adam and I, we went to Alabama over the weekend, and Monday night we were coming home, and I thought we was going to be home. Well, we got home about Tuesday morning. Well, the water pump went out in the truck, and I was stuck on the side of I-20 for about three and a half hours. But you know what? I didn't expect that to happen, and I didn't want it to happen. But you know what? It happened. And so you know what? You just have to deal with it. Well, you know what? It'd been nice to know ahead of time it was going to go out, because you know what? It's like, well, I know that my water pump's going to go out, so I'm just going to go put it in the shop and have it replaced. But you know what? That other one that they put on there, it could have failed too. There's because nothing that's man-made is foolproof. So, I mean, you know, but the thing is, you know, the Lord took care of us. We got home. And, you know, you get out on the side of the road at night, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are a little bit off. You know, you never know who's going to come along and visit you. But, I mean, there's people out there, and that's all they're looking for is somebody that try to prey on somebody. I don't know, maybe when I got out of the truck, maybe people just realized that they didn't want to mess with me. They just it's like, you know, I don't know. How hard it would be to overtake him, so I'll just go find somebody else that's smaller. Yeah. But you know, the Lord takes care of us. We don't know what's going to take place. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. We know what's going to take place. And see, all we got to do is put our trust in him, because even in the book of John, he said, when Jesus was speaking, you know, because he was speaking of him coming in the Word, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he said, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So he has a plan for you. So there is a plan. And see, these things that he said, he will lead you and guide you. And he said, the things that you hear, you'll hear these things, because he said, and he will show you things to come. So he was telling the disciples, this is what's going to take place. See, so we have the Spirit of God to lead us, to show us these things. We don't know what's going to take place, but it's a step-by-step process. We don't know all things, but He knows all things. But you know, in the right time, He's going to show us what we need to know. He's going to lead us and guide us and show us the steps that we need to take. And you know, when people say, well, the condition that the world is in, well, you know what? None of it took God by surprise. You know, God's not worried. God didn't just wake up one morning and see the whole world in chaos. He already knew what was going to take place. He already had everything worked out. He had an answer for every problem before the problem ever got here. So everything was already laid out. And so when He come and set all these things in motion, He knew what was going to take place. Because when He came out as Elohim in the beginning, self-existing, and He began to speak the word, and He said, let there be, and let there be, and let there be. You know what? He wasn't surprised when things come into existence. And He wasn't surprised when everything worked exactly the way He had it, because exactly what was in His mind came into fruition. And He began to watch those things swirl and everything come into existence. Before there was an atom or a molecule or anything, He already had a divine order for all of it. And all of a sudden it became into the existence, and He done exactly the way that God had in His mind. When He spoke it into existence, He began to do that. And so there was nothing out of cater. And then, you know, Brother Branham said when He was self-existing, Elohim, He said the first thing that I believe that He created was angels. And He created angels. And then, you know, we know that Lucifer and the angels were all created. Well, you know, here He is in this masterpiece that He begins to create and put everything in order. When He began to do this, you know, here He is and He creates Lucifer. And Brother Branham says that, you know, He said Satan, and He said Satan was just like Him, except he wasn't a creator. But he was just like Him, you know, at the same level. He had everything. And it's like, wow, you know what? You know, if I was going to pick an enemy, I would want somebody I could put under my thumb. I wouldn't want anybody that was real tough, you know, that had anything. You know, I just want him to be the weakest little fella around. But you know what? He set somebody that was formidable. You know, he just didn't have some pushover. But you know what? He was created. And you know what? Even though he had this great power in his mind, I'm going to be like the Most High, you know, I'm going to exalt myself, and, you know, I'm going to do all these great things. And, you know, he tried to take the angels from, you know, he took a third of the angels, and, you know, he tried to do all these things. And, you know, I'm going to overcome Michael and God and all those things. And, you know, he had a plan in him that he was going to. But, you know, none of that could come to pass. Because, see, Satan doesn't realize, but he is. But as being a created being, part of creation, he is bound because the law of creation exists over him. So that law that he's under is still going to hold him into that place. No matter what he does, he's still going to go to the place that God created for him. But he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? See, he said, thou wast created perfect until iniquity was found in you. Amen. See, it wasn't God done that, but that was his choice. And by his choice, he came into that place. And now, because of the law of God, because of the law of all of God's word, all of creation, all of God's plan, there is a law to that. So because he turned the word down, because he got out of his position and thought, I'm gonna exalt myself over the stars of heaven, I'm gonna be higher than God, greater than God, well then guess what? He's going to the lowest pits. He's got a place in the lake of fire. But that's his choice, not anybody else's choice. But see, he's still bound by that. And even today, God, because who he is, because the scripture tells us, Romans 13 says, he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we know by the scripture that even though that Satan has a power that he can operate in, and he's contrary to God, but he's still bound by the law of God. Amen. Amen. He can only do so much. Amen. See, we see that in the life of Job when God was speaking to the devil, and he came and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" When he began to talk about it, he began to see the life of Job and what the kind of person that Job was. And he's like, "Well, you know, is it all for naught? Because you've got a hedge around him." See, the thing is as Satan had walked through the earth and seen the man that Job was, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Well, you know what? He only does that because what you've done for him." And he didn't realize God knew what kind of person Job was. Because he knew that he would stand the test. Amen. See, he knew what was going to take place. And that's the reason he brought him to Satan. And he said, well, let me get a hold of him. Have at him. And he began to work on Job. But you know what? The man that Job was. The integrity that Job had. Amen. See, God knew what kind of man Job was. Amen. And he came through that. And so it's the same way with you and I. God has ordained us to this day. God has brought us to this time. See, Brother Bram said when he was speaking there in Christ the Mystery, and he was talking about, you know, God had a plan and a purpose, something that he wanted to achieve. He had this thought in his mind of what he was going to take place. And he laid it all out just perfect of what was going to take place. And, you know, he set everything in order. He said, in order for him to be expressed, he wanted to express himself. He wanted the world to see. He wanted to have fellowship and, you know, all the things that he wanted to express. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a father. All these things that he wanted to be. See, he was able to do all of those things. And he set everything in motion. And see, and praise God that if God set everything in motion, then there's a plan and a purpose for all of it. And see, we wake up this, you know, in the morning and, you know, oh, what's going to take place and worry. Well, you know what? God's not worried. God's not frustrated. You know, because God knows why? Because everything is working just to God's plan. And when you know that all these things, and so when you see all that God had this whole plan of what was going to take place and everything's working just to that plan. And then, you know, when we see how the world has come about, and we know that Adam and Eve was going to fall. God set everything up, and all of a sudden here they came, and, you know, they disbelieved God's word. But, you know, he already had a plan. He already had an atonement before that ever happened. And, you know, and so because, you know, here he was in the midst of all this, and here's Adam and Eve falling away, and all of a sudden here they are caught in their sin and realizing, you know, their eyes are open and they realize they're naked and all these things, and all of a sudden, you know, they realize, oh, we're out of fellowship with God. We're not where we are supposed to be. We're not where we used to be and all this. And then all of a sudden in the midst of all this, here comes God walking in the midst of the garden calling, "Adam, where art thou?" See, he began to call out to Adam because he knew that Adam was going to do that, but he already had an atonement, and he began to call out to Adam, ask, "Where are you?" He's over there in the bushes trying to make fig leaves, trying to cover up. And you know what? None of that's going to work. Why? Because nothing that you do is ever going to amount to anything. It's not going to be able to cover you. But you know what? God brought the covering to them when he brought the bloody lambskins into them and had them put those on and covered them, and he sent them out. But he made a way and he made a promise of what was going to take place. That he had it a way made. See, he knew that they were going to have, there had to be one that had to come to cover that chasm to bring them back into fellowship. But you know what? He never forgot them, and he already had the way made. So here they are, and all these type things, when God was coming through and seeing all these things, see, when you see this plan, how God had everything in divine order, everything worked out just perfectly. You know, God was not caught by surprise by anything. When he's seen all these things take place. But, you know, as he began to go through time and, you know, man got away from God, and you know, he kept trying to reach out to man and have fellowship with him, even when Adam and Eve were outside the garden. But you know, he still loved them, and he still wanted to have fellowship with them, and he began to deal with them. Amen. And he began to deal with Cain and Abel. You know, because he made a way for them, and he began to speak to them and tell them, listen, there's an atonement that needs to be made. And he began to deal with Abel by revelation of what that needed to take place, that he could come in to divine fellowship with God, that there was something that had to be done. And you know, it said by revelation, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because God began to deal with Abel on what had to be done. There was a revelation that was given to him. And as he began to deal with, then you know what? He took a hold of God's word by what God had given him, and he began to do that. And he realized that it took blood. It wasn't any fruit or anything that was going to take place, but it had to have a spotless, perfect lamb that had to be sacrificed. And he went out there and he found one, and he went out there, and just as sincere, he built that altar and he stood before God, and he took that lamb's life and he stood there and offered it and worshiped God standing there, realizing that lamb was taking his place. He walked in exactly what God wanted him to do. And as he began to do that, you know, here comes, we know the story, here come Cain standing there offering the best of the field, you know, all that his hands had done. And you know, God didn't accept any of that because it didn't match the plan. But you know, he began to deal with Cain. He began to speak to Cain. Listen, none of this is going to work. But he told him, he said, listen, if you will do as your brother, all you got to do is what your brother done. Your brother has offered a lamb. And he said, if you'll just do the exact same thing, he said, you'll be accepted. He said, but if not, sin lies at the door. Just a simple fact. When it's so simple, and it's laid out so perfectly before us, just like it was to Cain. And it's like, well, the question is what are you going to do with it? It's your choice. And there he was. Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. Oh, it's just too hard. This just hurts my feelings. Like, well, how wonderful it is that God speaks to us. Just like he done Cain. Answered his question exactly. Gave him exactly what he had need of. But you know, the question is was he going to follow what God wanted him to do? And so, you know, when he turned it down, then, you know, he was rejected of God. Amen. But that was his choice, not God's choice. Amen. Because God began to deal with him and plead with him. And not only past him, but all of men. He began to deal with them. But you know what? They turned God down. It wasn't God turning them down. Amen. You know, I was thinking of, you know, Brother Branham always talking about, you know, people saying, well, Brother Branham, you know, I don't agree with you on your doctrine, and I don't agree with this, and, you know, we're just going to draw you outside of our circle. And he said, well, that's all right, I'll just draw you back in. You know, the thing is it just like when God was there, you know, you deal with people and you try to show them the truth and you try to show them love, but, you know, you can't force people into doing things. You know, because there comes a time you've got to make a choice for yourself. You've got to come beyond all of your hurt feelings and different things in your life. You've got to move beyond all of that. And because people will always find an excuse somehow that's going to hold you back. But you know, God will always deal with you. And you know, many times in our lives we've had God deal with us, and you know, and it's only, well, I'm just going to speak for myself tonight, but it's just being stubborn. Because, you know, you want to do it your own way. And God begins to deal with you about things. And you know what? Because maybe y'all don't have that problem, but y'all just pray for me. But you know, you realize God's dealing with you and he's trying to get you to go in a certain way and he keeps trying to show you, but you know what? You don't want to do it that way. Because we think, oh, I got it all under control. I can do this. I got it. Until it all falls apart. Till the wheels fall off. And it was like, oh Lord, where are you at? See, and he's like, well, you know what? I was been here waiting on you to try and tell you which way to go. But you don't want to listen. But see, God has a plan and a purpose for everything. He had everything set out just perfect. You know, even from the beginning, all things worked just the way he had a plan. You know, you see how the earth and when he created the heavens and the stars and everything works just perfectly. You know, and then, you know, how we see, you know, you can measure distance and the years and the months and all these type things, and they keep perfect time. And, you know, Brother Ram talking about, you know, we can't build a clock that holds time like the stars do. You know, they can see and they can track, you know, 100 years from now, they'll know where all the planets are, where the constellations are, all these type things. They know what's going to take place because they see, because all of this was set in order and there's a perfect plan to this. Well, you see how all of this works. That when you see how all of this works in a perfect harmony, well, you know, when you go back, because God's plan is so perfect that the way it works that, you know, when they went back in time and they were trying to figure out why there was missing time, why didn't their models work right? And, you know, the NASA and the different ones, like, there's a problem here. We can't figure this out. Well, what happened? Well, it's like, oh, well, you know what? We just go right to the Bible. What? Yeah. Yeah, move the sun. Yeah. Man prayed to have the sun move back 10 degrees. Amen. Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still. All right. Then all of a sudden, well, you know, that's just a fairy tale. There's no scientific proof to any of that. Because you know what? It was just a bunch of gases out somewhere, and they just ignited, and all this just come out, just a big bang, and it just kind of rolled around for thousands, millions of years, all this stuff kind of just rolled around and burned up, and we just seen all of this hooey going on, and all of a sudden, life came out of that. Yeah. Then then you see all, you know, out of all this chaos, all this chaos, all of a sudden order came. As brother Ernie used to say all the time, he said, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, he said, you believe that you can throw a bomb in a print shop and come out with a dictionary. But see, the problem is it was in divine order. The problem is we don't see the divine order. Until somebody begins to point out the divine order to show us the things that take place. And it's like, well, all you know, because they're out trying to find some way to prove their theory. And we can't prove it because we don't have any scientific proof, but you know what? It's what we believe, and so, you know, don't say anything against it. Because as you begin to show the evidence and you begin to express all these things, well, you tell me how all these things work. How is it that what came first, the chicken or the egg? But you got to have a chicken here before an egg comes. Because you can't create an egg without the chicken. There's no way. But it wasn't created. So how did all these things take place? How is it that, well, the scripture tells us, you know, the seas are all set in order and everything's in a divine order and everything's set. But, you know, you go into places in the world and you know what? The oceans don't cross each other. They don't mix. The Pacific and the Atlantic don't mix. There's a dividing line. When Brother Branham was talking about the waters were created and he put a divine order there, and then he began to talk about to watch and he said, and instead of things flooding and different things changing, he said there was a watchdog put in the sky. He said it's called the moon. And that moon was set in order, and he said that controls the seas. Because the seas can't but go certain places. Amen. Because it's a divine order. Right. And so when you see all these things, you know, it just happened haphazard. No. But when you begin to you look at it and say, well, how did all these things take place? And you see all of these things, how they work. Everything works in a perfect condition. Amen. Everything works just perfect. Amen. And you know, all things, you look at the composition of the earth, how much water, how much land, all of the minerals and everything is in the right proportion in the earth. Everything is made just exactly right. The earth is the right size. It has the right mass. It has the right gravitational pull. It's the correct distance from the sun. When you see all these things, well, you know what? It just happened. Well, you know, if you have that kind of faith, well, just jump in your car, crank it, and expect to get in the house. No. Because there takes a divine order to that. You know, if you want to get home tonight, you better have your hand on the wheel. You better be having your eye on the road. You better know what you're doing. Well, see, it's the same way with God. God has a plan and a purpose. He has everything in order, and there's a law how everything works. And so we don't have to worry about those things. All we got to do is realize God's in control. Amen. And if we can just trust God, then He can move these things in the right areas. Amen. See, when God began to speak about all these things, and you know, when he called man and man got out of position. But you know, he called men, the prophets, he called them to bring the word because he wanted his word brought to the people. Amen. And you know, he began to call the prophets and he began to speak to them. And he began to open them. And you know, because Brother Bram said they had to be yielded to the Spirit. They had to be yielded. And it was not what they were speaking, what their thoughts that they were speaking. Right. But they had to be yielded to the Spirit for him to speak. And as he began to speak, and he was speaking of Moses and different ones where they began to speak the word. As they began to speak the word, because God wanted to deal with man. He wanted to have fellowship. And he reached out and began to speak to these people. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, here's these peculiar men that began to speak, and God began to open up the scripture and began to speak to them, began to deal with them and show them the way that God had for them and the way that he wanted them to go. And, you know, they didn't even understand sometimes what they were saying. It wasn't their idea, but God began to speak to them, and he began to open the scripture to them, and he began to speak to them. And he began to show the people, because he began to reveal himself through the prophets. Amen. And you know, because you know, they didn't even have their own understanding of things of why, but you know, it's just like all they could do is just take God at his word. Amen. Who was it? Isaiah, that, you know, he just went out there and walked around naked for 3 years or whatever it was, you know, and it's like, why? Because you know what? I'm showing y'all that this is the condition y'all living in. And see, this is what God sees before it. You know, he began to speak to them, and you know, here they are, and even when they didn't want to speak, they couldn't hold back. They couldn't hold back what they wanted to say. As Jeremiah said, you know, he said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And he said, you know, he was weary for forbearing. You know, he just trying to hold on. But, you know, he had to get out and say this. Here, Brother Ram said, you know, he said, God has spoken. He said, and I must deliver it. Amen. See, he couldn't get away from that, whether they liked it or not. No matter what happened to them, that's what God wanted them to do, because he began to speak to them. Amen. He said, God has spoken in his heart, and he must say it. He said, not to be different, but to be obedient. So he had to go and speak all these things and set everything in order, what God wanted them to know. Because he began to reveal himself, and he wanted them to know who he was and what he wanted them to do. But you know, as he began to reach out, there was a lot that turned him down. And, you know, even when it came to the time of Moses, when he began to deal with and see the sin that was in the earth. And, you know, he told them, but he made a way. But when he sent Noah into the earth and told him, said, listen, there's a flood coming. There's judgment coming, and you can make a way out. Right. Amen. But there's a way that you got to follow. When he preached to his generation, that 120 years out there building an ark and preaching to them, listen, God's judgment's coming. Amen. And there's a plan and there's a way out, but you've got to get ready. Amen. You've got to prepare yourself. Amen. And he began to preach to them this whole time, and he began to build this ark. And he said the whole time he was standing out there, and they could prove that there was no water in the sky. Right. Well, there ain't no water up there. We got this crazy man out here. But God had it all set in order. And he began to build all this. Well, there might be something to it, but I wouldn't get too close to any of that. But all of a sudden, next thing you know, when he spent all those years out there building that ark, getting ready. So, well, we ain't seen nothing but him build that ark, and he keeps saying the same thing for all these years. But it didn't take long. All of a sudden, something supernatural happened. All of a sudden, them animals started. You know what? He didn't have to go out there, and he wasn't wrangling the animals and trying to herd them onto the ark. You know, he wasn't out trapping animals trying to get them on the ark. But you know what? Because the animals were smarter than the people in that day. Because the same spirit that spoke to those people in that day are the same ones that led those animals onto the ark. And here they are coming two by two, or coming in groups of seven, and came onto the ark. And when all of that was finished, after they saw all that, it's like, well, you know, all the news stations are out there. We got to watch this phenomenon. Look at this. All these animals are coming. And they all just stand around watching. Well, I wonder what's going to happen next. But nobody took it seriously. Nobody believed it. What they didn't realize, that God shut the door and had sealed it. And he sealed their judgment. But that was their choice. Amen. God had already made a way for them, and they turned it down. That was their choice. Yes. Amen. And all of a sudden, after, well, it's been 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Y'all see anything different? Nope. Have you heard from Noah? Nope. Do you know what? After that week went past, they started having this phenomenon. All of a sudden, it's like, what is all this? Yep. Oh, guess what? Noah's prophecy come to a pass. Noah's word is coming to pass. Then all of a sudden, when the rains came down so hard, you couldn't see anything. Everything began to get washed away. There was no place to hide. Then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, can we get in the ark, Noah? Nope. Amen. Your judgment's already upon you.
Yeah, right.
And you don't realize it.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, I didn't close the door. God did. God closed the door, but you had your opportunity and you let it pass by. See, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take the word when the word is presented to us. We've got to grab a hold of it and walk in the word that he's given us and realize this is life and death. You know, we're not, nobody's promised tomorrow. Nobody knows what's going to take place. But, you know, now is the day of, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. If you're going to listen to God, if you're going to get a hold of God, get right with God, whatever you need is today's the day to do it. Because we don't know, none of us have our promise tomorrow. See, Brother Branham said, when he began to speak about this word, and these prophets began and speak the word, and here they began to walk in that, and they began to speak the word, and they said the word. He said God had so much control of them. He said that their voice and their actions, he controlled everything. He began to speak to them, and then he said, "Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till every action and move is thus saith the Lord." He said, "Walk in that Shekinah glory. I'll show you a Messiah." He said, "Anointed one standing upon the earth." See, if we walk in the word that God has given to us, see, now's the time to do that. Amen. God has called us, now's the time to do that. Amen. Oh, you know, we you know, because the world is full of deceit. Amen. See, God set everything in this perfect order, and everything works just so perfect. Yeah. But you know what? Now, in this time, when God sent the word and he's vindicated the word, but you know what? Satan had a plan also. Satan was always trying to work against God's plan. Yeah, right. Always from the beginning. Amen. Surely you'll not die. Well, we don't have to listen to that. We've got our own way. God's not, surely God wouldn't do that. God's a good God. That won't happen. But you know what? It came just like he said it would. Yes, it did. Amen. But see, he allowed Satan to have his time to work things the way he wanted. And so it's just like that tonight. You know, God allowed Satan to work his plan, and he began to work. And we see it all the way down through history. We see how everything took place. And everybody's like, well, you know, why did God allow this to happen? And why did God allow that to happen? Why? Because there's a divine order to it all. You know, you see how God began to deal with all of them and began to speak to all these people all the way down, began to speak. All of the prophets began to speak to them, and he began to show them things and express himself. And he began to show himself in miracles and the supernatural things that took place. But, you know, people didn't understand those things. People didn't believe it. But you know, when all of that word was preached, there came one that came upon the earth. Yeah. That it was stepped into the fulfillment of all of that. Amen. We know Jesus Christ stepped into the fulfillment of all the word that was preached. Amen. He was the fulfillment of that. He came and he began to preach to the people what took place. And he began to tell people, listen, I am the fulfillment of that, of the word that's been preached. And he said, now is the time that the Lamb must be slain. He said, that's what I come into the earth to do, to bridge that chasm that's from the beginning. I am one just like Moses said God would raise up a prophet like it unto me. And here he came, and he stepped out, and he began to preach the word in a time when the people ought to have known the word. Great religious leaders, they should have known the word. And here Jesus began to preach to them and show them the word, and they didn't even understand it, didn't even see him. And they rejected him. And here he was. He began to see these things and began to show them, but he came to the ones that he was supposed to come to. He said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But there was a group that received that word. And see, he came into the earth to fulfill the word, and all of the scriptures, him standing there and showing it. Hey, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. Why? Because that's the Father's will. And you know, I come to do this. And he's like, listen, he said, when I go away, he said, there a comforter must come. He said, I got to go away for the comforter to come. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless.
Thank you, Lord.
And all that they had went through and all the things that they had seen. And he began to speak to the disciples and tell them, listen, you're going to be hated in the earth.
Right.
You're going to be persecuted.
Right.
All the things, the way they treated me, they'll treat you.
Yeah.
But he said, I want you to know, he said, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
He said, I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you,
yeah,
even in you, to the end of the earth.
Lord.
All the things that he done all the way through,
thank
he
you.
Led them all the way.
Yes,
right. And told him, listen, I got to go to Calvary by myself. The scripture says that I'll be forsaken.
Yep. Right.
Even when Peter's like, well, Lord, I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yes, yeah.
You know why? Because the scripture says that
right.
When we make plans, the will of God's what's going to be done.
Right.
And that's what took place.
Yeah.
But you know, he told Peter, he said, after the resurrection, he said, listen, I've prayed for you. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. You've got a testimony, Peter. You've come through some things. You want to know what a failure looks like? That's Peter. But Peter, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you.
Yeah, right.
And you're going to show them what God can do to a failure.
Right. Amen.
When God can get a hold of somebody that's
amen.
Absolutely
amen.
Just fell apart.
Amen.
Like, you know, all the things that you've done, you know, cutting off somebody's ear, getting mad, all the different things.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? God gave him a testimony
amen.
And brought him through. Showed him what grace was.
Amen.
And he began to speak of those things. To know what God's done, that we can go out there and tell you, listen,
amen.
This same Lord Jesus is here
yes. right.
to be to meet your need.
Yes.
If you want a life-changing experience, here's one that can give you a life-changing experience.
Right. Amen.
All the things that the scripture talked about. This Jesus, whom you crucified, he's the fulfillment of all that.
Amen.
And he had such a testimony in the end. They were like, men and brother, what shall we do?
Yeah. Right.
Hey, they were so moved by that. Well, Rod, I'll give you the prescription. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ for the remission
Amen.
Of your sins,
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many
yes.
as the Lord our God shall call.
Right.
See, all of those things, as he began to come through and began to preach, God was making himself known to them.
Amen.
120 in one day.
Right.
See, all those, all the way through, began to speak. You know, and then you look at all through the scripture, and people are like, I don't understand why all these things happen, all these bad things happen. It's the divine order of God.
Amen.
There's a plan and a purpose to all of it. You know, it's like when they said, well, how is it that God could sit there with his hands folded across his stomach and watch all those babies get murdered and all those women during the dark ages? He said, well, if the seed didn't go in the ground, it couldn't come back. He said, if a seed must abide alone and die and rot for it to come to life,
Amen.
There was a divine purpose in all that.
Amen.
Remember, people, well, I don't understand that. Well, you know what? In the scripture, it tells us when that the red horse rider went out and he said he was given a sword. And it said he went to take peace from the earth. So he began to take, because he was there to take all this. But you know what? God had a plan. There was a divine order that was there.
Amen.
In the midst of all that, because those people had the ox anointing. They were anointed. Why? Because they were sacrifice.
Amen.
And you know, I've always said, you know, when somebody wants to take something from you because they think that you're going to hold on to something, they feel like, I've got this power, I'm going to take this from you. Well, you know how you take the power away from somebody? Is you give it to them. Yeah. When they want to take something, well, here, yeah. I'm going to freely give it to you. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, they've lost the power. Because you give it to them. So when they were out there, well, we're going to take your life. You know what? They had a better resurrection coming. Amen. They had a better testimony ahead of them. Why? Because you know what? We're going to suffer for a while. We're going to go through all these heartaches and all of this pain and all these things that are taking place. But you know what? We've got a better waiting. You know, here in just a few minutes, we're going to be on the other side. We just got to battle this for just a short period of time, and all of a sudden, you know what? We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, I got nothing to worry about. If they kill me, that's all right. If they torture me, that's all right. Yep. Because you know what? I'm going into the arms of Jesus. Amen. And you know, here they are. I walk right into this, and I'm going to the other side. They were anointed for that. Praise God, you know, it's like, well, I can't understand that. Well, that was the anointing for their day. That's what they were called to do.
That's right. Amen.
And everybody had to go through those different times. Everything was called. Every situation was made for, and every time, all the way down through history, everything was made perfect for that time.
Yep.
Every time Satan came and tried to do something, the Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard. And whatever that standard was, it was perfect for that time. It met the conditions for the day. Whatever came about, it worked out just exactly the way God wanted it to be. It was just perfect. Everything went through. And so there was nothing that was out of cater. There was nothing that was out of place. There was no problems in any of this. It worked out just perfect.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know, when we see that God began to speak, and in the beginning, when he began to speak, and he began to say, let there be, let there be. And everything came into the divine order. And he stood there and he said, let us make man in our own image. And everything got, and when he saw all of creation, when he saw everything that he had done, he said, it's good.
Right.
And the scripture said that he rested.
Amen.
He came and he rested. Why? Because everything was set in divine order.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to know one thing tonight. See, God come to the place that when everything come in divine order, that he rested. Then you know what? God's not worried about what's going to take place. Why? Because it's all in divine order. Well, let me tell you something. When you come into Christ, and he said, when you come into Christ, he said, we're now new creations. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Amen.
So the old things have passed away. So when you come into Christ, then you are under that, because the promise is when you come into Christ, you enter into that rest.
Amen.
Well, then you know what? If God came into that and he had a plan and a purpose, everything was in divine order. And when it came in and then he sat down and he rested because everything was working just the way God wanted it to. Well, then let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If we step into that same place where we step in divine order the same way, when you come into Christ, you're in divine order. And you know what? Doesn't matter if every devil in hell comes against you, when everything falls apart, when there's nothing there and it all blows up and there's nothing there and you don't know where you're standing, you don't know what's going on, there's a place to stand. Why? Because no matter what comes your way, we are blessed in the beloved. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter what comes or goes. You know what? Everything is in divine order. All you got to do is put your trust in Him and walk in the way He leads you. If you would just put your confidence in the Word of God and say, you know what, I don't have to worry about anything. Why? Because God is in control. God leads us. And you know, everything is made. If God brought me, if God justified me, if God sanctified me, if God filled me with the Holy Ghost and brought me and put me on the road that I'm supposed to be walking, if I would just continue to follow the same Spirit that turned me out or brought me out of the world of sin and brought me out of the depths of darkness and put me into glorious light, if I can just continue to walk in that, you know what? It doesn't matter what comes my way, doesn't matter what happens, whatever comes to place, I'm tonight standing in divine order. I'm standing in the divine plan of God. And you know what? I can rest solely in that. I don't have to worry about anything that comes or goes. Why? Because there's a place to stand. Why? Because God wants us to realize who we are. You don't have to worry about what's... Because if we see who Satan really is, Satan only can do what God allows him to do. If we just put our trust in Him. I'm so glad though I've got a place to stand. That I've got one that I can trust in. God's in control. You know, just like when they were out on the sea and the ship was rocking and everything looked like everything was going to fall. They were ready for that boat to sink. It's like, Lord, you don't care that we perish? Well, He wasn't worried. He was in the back asleep. And they were so afraid because this terrible storm was coming and He was asleep. Why? Because you know what? He was at rest. And no matter if we have the same spirit, if the same one that was on that boat, if we were in Him when He walked the shores of Galilee, if we're a part of Him and we're all of that went on, and he was facing all of that, and He didn't have a single worry, He didn't have any fear. And if we're one of His, then you know what? You don't have to worry about that. God has a place for us. It's in divine order. And I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. Let's all stand, have the musicians come. But I just want to share that with you tonight because, you know, everybody worries about, well, what's going to happen or this or that. God's in control. I believe God's in control. And if God's in control, then I don't have to worry about it. I am blessed. Let's sing that if we can.
Key F.
I'm not what key that's F. In. F. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. God has called me to a place, and I just walk the way that He leads me.
470.
And I'm blessed.
I am blessed, I am blessed, every day that I live, I am blessed, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Someday I shall stand by His side. Yes, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, will I lay my head to rest? I am blessed. I have shoes on my feet. I have plenty to eat. And a home up in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine through my new birth. And we'll share in that home beyond the sky.
Saturday. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll be dismissed. A word of prayer. If anybody has anything. Well, just remember Saturday. Looking forward to a good time with Brother Daryl. Be here. I guess 2:30, whatever. It starts at 3, so. And anything. Those that are getting ready, 1 o'clock. So, all righty. Well, God bless y'all. Let's just all bow our heads. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, to be in your house tonight, Lord. Lord, that we're able to gather around your word. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can see in your word, Lord, there's a plan and a purpose for all things, Lord Jesus. Father, the scripture tells us that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are they called according to his purpose. And Lord Jesus, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we go through life, Lord Jesus, sometimes we get, as the devil likes to come and tell us and cloud our minds and try to put doubt in our minds, Lord Jesus, but Father, there's an anchor that holds it, tells us, Lord. Lord, we can brave all the storms of the enemy, Lord, all the doubt, all the fear, all the confusion, Lord Jesus. Lord, because you are the way maker, you are the guide. Lord, you give us clarity in all things. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can realize, Lord, you're in control of all things, Lord. Lord, if we just yield our vessels to you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we can't do anything in ourselves, Lord, if we would just put our trust in you, Lord. Yes. Lord, you said you'd lead us and guide us in all things. And Lord, you'd lead us all the way to the end. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Lord, we just pray that you bless each one as they travel home tonight. Lord, the ones that couldn't make it. Lord, all the ones that are sick and afflicted, Lord Jesus. Father, the bride around the world, Father, there's many that have needs. And Lord, we just commit them to you. We thank you that, Lord, that you've answered people's prayers, Lord, when it didn't look like there was a way, Lord, that their people have been sick, Lord Jesus, but you've come on the scene supernaturally and touched them. And Father, if you could do that for one, Lord, that you can do it for anybody. And Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Father, we just pray that you bless the services on Saturday and Sunday, Lord, as Brother Daryl comes to be with us, Lord, just pray that you just touch him, Lord, anoint him. Come to speak to our hearts. Lord, we just commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.
I live, I am blessed.